KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
Welcome to ABQ Connect. Brianna Peters, our engineer, bringing us on the air nice and smooth. Jim Williams with you. I'm in studio with Tom Terry, the Global English Station Manager for Crew Ministries and head of the Global Broadcast Strategy for Crew's Jesus Film Project. Tom, I've known you a pretty long time. Thanks for being here.
Oh, it's great to be back. Thank you.
Should I say 32 years?
A long, well, it's...
So my oldest son is 32.
Yeah, I was on staff with Campus Crusade in 1995, so it's been 30 years.
Uh-huh.
And came right out of my old work with KLIT Radio from way back then, and that's when we knew each other from...
That's right.
From back in the early, late 80s to early 90s.
Well, you've been a world traveler, my friend.
I've gone around to a few places, yeah.
Yes, you have. I want you to tell us about Crew. Obviously, Crusade... Everybody knows it as Campus Crusade, now the Crew Ministries. Talk to us about evangelism and discipleship and all the creative ways you're sharing the gospel around the world.
Well, Campus Crusade has been around since 1951. Campus Crusade for Christ was the original name. That's actually the name of the international ministry, but the U.S. ministry name is Crew.
Okay.
And started by Bill and Vonette Bright back in 1951 and just exploded from there. We've got a ministry presence in almost every country in the world with staff and volunteers, about 19,000 full-time staff and over 300,000 trained volunteers working all over the world to share the gospel. One of the big projects that we have and have had for the last 45-plus years, which is what I work on, is the Jesus Film Project. Mm. The Jesus Film was created back in 1978, 1979 as a vision of Dr. Bill Bright to be able to share the story of Jesus through film with people all over the world and their heart language. And we're at the point now here in 2025 where we have over 2,200 translations of the Jesus Film going all over the world sharing the gospel. It's the most translated film in history, and it's the most watched film in history. More people have seen the Jesus Film multiple times than any other film that's ever been created, including Wizard of Oz or Titanic or, you know, any of the big names. The film has been seen over 11 billion times.
Now, as you're talking about a film, we can go to a movie theater 10 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock at night. But that's not true with other places around the world. So what kind of creative ways have you been able to show people the film?
Well, we do traditional film showings in theaters in some communities, but we also go out to small communities in Africa and Asia and South America and set up a big screen and a projector and the speakers and the whole bit.
And that might not be something they're commonly seeing.
No, this might be the first film they ever seen in their entire lives and the first film ever seen in their language.
Cool.
So a few years ago, we did a translation of the Jesus Film into the Dasanak language, which is part of Ethiopia. It's a little tribe in Ethiopia. There are no films and no media in Dasanak. There's nothing until the Jesus Film came. So when they had a film in their own heart language, the whole community shows up to see the film. They see the story of Jesus, people get saved, and a church is planted.
Yeah. Tom, along the lines of Crew Ministries, Campus Crusade, you've been with them now how many years?
30 years.
30 years. And what a lot of people may not understand is we're going to talk about your calling. And we're going to talk about world evangelism. We're going to talk about the Great Commission but I want people to get to know you a little bit. Before we talk a lot about you, I'm hoping that our listeners will listen intently and maybe want to join your team because they can be part of your team, can't they?
Yes.
How do they do that?
Well, it's real simple. It's to get involved with our ministry and to learn more about it, just go to tomanddiane.com. That's my wife's name, Diane. Mm-hmm. So tomanddiane.com, real easy. And right there, you'll see a profile of our ministry and what we do and what our needs are.
I love that. And I mean, you need people praying, you need financial support, all of those different things.
That's right.
So talk to us now a little bit about how you were able to find your calling in ministry. I'm going to phrase it this way. I'm going to use a double negative, and I don't mean to, but I don't no other way. You can't not share the gospel.
Yeah, you've got to be able to share the gospel.
Well,
everything is about people knowing and falling in love with Jesus.
But if that's right now, I offered you a job to, be a mechanic at such and such a auto parts store or whatever.
Then you're looking for opportunities in that venue.
But you, Tom Terry, you are compelled. You have to be sharing the gospel. You remind me of our former general manager, Chip Lesko, who you knew well.
Yeah.
Skip and his whole family. I mean, Levi Lesko, Jesse Lesko, two of the great pastors in our country.
Yeah.
That whole family, they have to be sharing the gospel.
Yeah, they're compelled.
So talk to us a little bit about how you found that to be your calling.
Well, when I was trying to break into radio back in the mid-80s out of a high school. And during that time, I came to faith in Christ and decided, I don't want to be in secular radio. I want to work in Christian radio.
What were you going to do, spin Metallica records?
Yeah, I was going to do whatever they, you know, whatever music I had to do. But once I became a believer, I didn't want to have a part of that anymore. I wanted to be part of doing something for the Great Commission, for sharing Christ with people so that people can know him and love him. And six houses down from where I lived was a Christian radio station. And so I walked in the door and I gave them a tape of my sound and said, I'd like a job. And lo and behold, they gave me a job. And it just kind of blossomed from there. I ended up coming to Albuquerque in 1988 and was here until the end of 1994, doing work on K-Lite radio at that time. And a lot of us remember the old K-Lite radio from way back when. And had a blast doing that for that 6.5 year period. But then Campus Crusade for Christ recruited me to work on radio projects overseas. And I thought, this is a great opportunity because there were areas of the world that we could do radio in where the vast, vast majority of people had not heard the gospel, especially in places like Middle East and certain parts of Asia. And when I saw the response that the broadcasts were getting at that time for what they had going on, I thought, you know, 800 letters a month, handwritten letters a month from people who wanted to know more about Christ. I thought, man, that is something.
800 like handwritten letters a month.
Oh, and it's gone beyond that. Like, for instance, with our broadcast and media work that we do in the Middle East and our internet work in the Middle East, we're dealing with over 1,500 responses every day.
Wow.
To the broadcast. 1,500 every single day.
And again, people listening right now can be part of that team helping you do that work.
Yep, that's right.
And they need to go to?
TomandDiane.com.
TomandDiane.com.
Just easy to remember, TomandDiane.com.
Tell me what Diane's doing with you.
Diane works with volunteer services at crew headquarters in Orlando. We're both based out of Orlando at this point. And she works with volunteers putting together packages for ministry that our campus people use all around the United States and elsewhere to share the gospel. They put together shoes and clothes for needy areas of the world like Venezuela and other places. And they put together technology packages that enable crew staff and volunteers and partners to share the gospel with tablets to share the Jesus film in those countries, in certain parts of South America, Middle East, and Asia. So she has a fantastic helps ministry, which is really providing the materials that people need to be able to share their faith.
When you talk about the Middle East, though, I know you. You're not going to the easiest places in the world to share the gospel. In fact, you're going places where it's illegal to share the gospel.
It has been in some sense. I visited the Middle East, haven't lived there yet at this point, but have visited there, been to Iraq a couple of times, working with a station there in Iraq and still do a consulting every month with them. Did some research in Jordan.
Now, are people that are serving in those ministries doing so at their peril?
In some places, yes. In some places, no. It all depends upon you know what it's like country by country. Some countries are more hardcore than others, so they do have to be careful. I remember a friend of mine manages a radio station in Iraq, and when ISIS was sweeping through the area, the ISIS front line was 6 miles from where they were located.
Wow.
And ISIS was saying very overtly they were going to come in and destroy all the Christians that were in that area. And so they decided that they had to shut down the radio station because it was just too dangerous for them. And so they shut down the radio station and everybody went home and hoped against all hope that ISIS would not make it into the city. An official with the government called the general manager of the station and said, why are you off the air? This is a Muslim guy with the government telling the Christian radio manager, why are you off the air? He says, well, it's too dangerous. And he explains it. He said, you don't understand. Your radio station is the only station that is giving our community hope in the face of ISIS. You go back on the air immediately. We need you. And the next day they were back on the air and they've been on ever since.
Wow.
And then eventually, of course, ISIS was defeated and pulled back and they never made it into the city, thankfully.
Wow. That is amazing. How do you raise support for you and your family in working in this ministry? Because again, that could be one thing that a lot of our listeners could help you with.
Yeah. So basically, it's just meeting with individuals and sharing our ministry, speaking in churches and Bible studies. I have 13 speaking engagements that I'm scheduled for this month.
Do you have room for more?
I have room for more. I've got plenty of time to speak to Bible studies and churches. And basically what we do when we talk about our ministry, we don't talk about our ministry a lot. What I like to talk about is the Great Commission and why we think the Great Commission may be fulfilled in our lifetime. And I realize when I say that, a lot of people think, well, what? In our lifetime, there are things going on around the world with the Great Commission that most people just don't know about because they haven't taken the time to research it. But there are amazing things that are happening. I'll give you one example. It was several years ago that Campus Crusade and several other ministry leaders had gotten together. In fact, it was back in 2005 to identify unengaged and unreached people groups around the world. Now, let me give you a little definition of that. So an unengaged people group is a people group that has no witness for the gospel, no missionary, no pastor, no Jesus film, no translation of the Bible, zip, zilch, nada, nothing. No one's even trying to reach them. That's an unengaged people group.
Right.
There were over 2,000 unengaged people groups in the world in 2005. And when ministry leaders got together, they said, well, what can we do to bring that number down to zero? So here we are now. That was, 20 years ago. Now it's 2025, and there are only 189 unengaged people groups left in the world to reach. And in fact, all of those groups will most likely be engaged within the gospel within the next 5 to 10 years. And once that happens, that means that every people group on earth will be engaged with the gospel.
So we're not done when that happens.
We're not done. We still want them to be reached, which means a reached country or a reached people group has 2% or more of its people as Christian and they can self-replicate. So we still want to reach them. But in terms of unengaged people groups, that means for the first time in history, every people group on earth will be engaged with the gospel. We've never been close to that in the history of the world. So we live in this really exciting time where literally every people group on earth within the next few years is going to be engaged with the gospel.
I love that. Tom Terry is the Global English Station Manager for Crew Ministries and Head
Transworld
of Global—
For Transworld Radio.
Oh, Transworld Radio. Okay. And Head of Global Broadcast Strategy for the Jesus Film Project with Crew. Of course, Crew, Campus Crusade for Christ. Yeah. And you already mentioned Campus Crusade for Christ is still using that moniker overseas.
Yes.
But just not here in the United States.
But we have different names around the world for security reasons.
Oh,
but,
gotcha.
But the global ministry is Campus Crusade for Christ.
And if you're interested in possibly being part of the ministry team with Tom, you can go to Diane.
Tom and Diane.
TomandDiane.com. TomandDiane.com. How do they get in touch with you if they want to support your ministry? Is that something they can call you or they can email
you?
Yeah,
send me a quick email. It's a real easy email address. It's MrTomTerry@gmail.com, MrTomTerry@gmail.com.
T-E-R-R-Y.
Yes.
MrTomTerry@gmail.com. @gmail.com. We'll be back with Tom Terry right after these messages. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. Back with Tom Terry. Tom is... been a longtime friend of mine. In fact, we were reminiscing. I have a 33-year-old son, and Tom and Diane help us to watch him back when Diane was doing home care. I mean, we've just known you guys a long time. You've always been a blessing to us and our family, and my son remembers that very affectionately. So you got to tell Diane what a great job she did.
That's great.
And your heart for ministry. I mean, you talk about the Great Commission. Tom, talk to us a little bit more about the Great Commission. Some people think that's sharing the gospel across the street at the school, across the street from your house. Some people think that's going to a foreign country. Talk to us about that.
Well, it's both. It's any opportunity to be able to share the gospel and bring people to Christ, whether it's locally, overseas, or wherever it might be. A lot of people don't know what the Great Commission is, so let me give a little bit of background on that and tell you why, where we're at with that. The Great Commission is found in Matthew chapter 28, and Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. That's our marching orders. That was given not just to the apostles, but really it's given to all of us. And here's the thing about the Great Commission that I find fascinating. If you think about it, the fulfillment of the Great Commission is inevitable. It's going to happen. God doesn't embark on missions where he intends to fail. He's going to happen. The scripture says in Matthew 24, the gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. He's saying it will happen. And God doesn't embark on missions of failure. He says in Isaiah 55, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that for which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing in which I send it. So the Great Commission is inevitable. It will happen. So the question that you and I face as individual believers is, how do I want to be involved in the Great Commission? Because it's a call to all, not just a few. Whether it's my neighbor or my family member, the people I work with, opportunities in the city, the state, or outside the country, whatever it may be, there's always an opportunity to be involved with the Great Commission. In fact, there's more going on with fulfilling the Great Commission now than ever before in history. It's kind of like investing. You know, when do you get in on investing? When the cost is low and the return is high. The return on getting involved in the Great Commission is the highest it's ever been in history. Hundreds of millions of people hear the story of Jesus every year. In fact, the growth of the gospel is outpacing world population growth by almost 2 to 1. That's how many people are hearing the gospel every year.
Is this happening because there's really talented preachers out there, or is it because there are people just sharing God's word and the Holy Spirit does it?
It's a work of the Holy Spirit. You know, our role, our job is to share the gospel of Christ, to be faithful to share the gospel of Christ with whomever we can and trust God for the fulfillment. Some people will come to Christ. Some people will not come to Christ. Our job is not to worry about whether I can convince somebody to come to Christ. The Holy Spirit is the one that does the convincing and the drawing. All we have to do is share the gospel in some form or fashion.
Yeah, that's amazing. I want to pick up on something you said about your wife. Your wife is working at crew headquarters in Florida. You're working in the same community, but you have to do a lot of things on the computer, so they let you do that at home, sounds like. But your family, you're raising funds and doing different things as you tell people. I shouldn't say you're raising funds. You're just telling people about the ministry and people come alongside you.
Right.
Tell our listeners again, I'm going to keep doing this throughout the whole hour till 2 o'clock, how they get in touch with you and how they might ask you questions, because you can't get it all covered in an hour today.
Right, right. So if you're interested in hearing about the Great Commission and how it's going to be, how it may be fulfilled in our lifetime, and you need someone to come speak at your church or Bible study group, or whatever it might be, I'd love to be able to do that while I'm in town for August. Just email me at MrTomTerry@gmail.com. That's MrTomTerry@gmail.com. And that's the best way to get a hold of us.
I love that. MrTomTerry@gmail.com. I love it. And people can, you know, they can go to the crew websites and just Google that. But there's a big description. But for you to tell us here today that there's only 189 unreached people groups.
Unengaged. Right. So you've got two definitions. You've got unengaged with people who are not engaged with the gospel at all. There's no gospel witness whatsoever. That's an unengaged group. An unreached group is a people group or a country that has less than 2% believers in the country. Once you hit that 2% mark, the church is able to replicate itself without help. Now, that doesn't mean we stop helping. We always want to help our missionaries. Sure. That's what we do. But an unreached people group is a people group of less than 2% population of Christians. Technically, there are only 14 unreached countries left in the world. There are over 157 countries that have at least 10% Christian population in them, and some have many more. Like, for instance, you look at China. China's a great example. They've had 76 years of intense persecution by the Chinese government in China of Christians. But every day in China, 3,000 to 11,000 people come to faith in Christ every day in China under that persecution. And Chinese Christians outnumber Communist Party members by the tune of 60 million.
Wow.
And in fact, according to Purdue University, if the current rate of growth in China maintains over the next few years, China will be the most Christian nation on earth by 2030, with a projected 247 million Christians.
That's almost
the population of the U.S.
But Tom, everything you're saying is kind of going counterculture to what we hear in politics every day.
Yeah, you know, we always hear about, like when it comes to the Great Commission, we always hear about the negatives, the total number of unreached peoples and the needs here and the needs there. And we tend to focus on the negative to motivate people to meet a need. And that's all legitimate. But from my perspective, I want to focus on the positive, because what I think is happening is we don't have a spiritual famine in the world. There is no spiritual famine in the world. What we have is a global spiritual awakening like we've never seen in the history of the church for the last 2,000 years. More people are open to the gospel right now than have ever been open in the history of the world. You look at the Middle East and other parts of the Muslim world, 30% of everyone in the Middle East who comes to Christ comes because of a dream or a vision they've had of Jesus.
Mm.
Isn't that interesting? And then they couple that with media, because there's so much media now in the Middle East that is sharing the story of Jesus. There's a story I like to tell, about, we call it the Burning Boy story. It happened a few years ago. It was involved with TV and a dream. There was a family that was at a camp, and they had a bonfire going. This was in a Muslim family, and a little boy had gotten doused by gasoline and engulfed in flames. And so the people rushed to put out the flames, put their coats on and whatnot, and they rushed him to the hospital. He gets to the hospital. His parents are with him, and the doctors tell his parents, "There's not a burn mark on your son's body. He's totally unburned." The father is so grateful. He tells his son, "Let's go back to the camp and tell everybody what happened and thank them for putting out the fire." The boy says, "They didn't put out the fire. The man with the bird put out the fire." Who's the man with the bird? The man with the bird. And so a few days later, they're home and they're watching satellite television, and the Jesus film comes on TV, and they decide to watch it. Now, this is a Muslim family. They're watching on TV the Jesus film, and they see this scene where Jesus is being baptized and the Holy Spirit descends as a dove on Jesus' shoulder. And the boy turns to his dad, points to the TV and says, "Dad, that's the man with the bird who put out the fire." And the whole family came to Christ.
Wow.
And that kind of stuff is happening all the time. So this kid had a vision of Jesus putting out the flames that he was in and saving him, and it turned out to be Jesus.
Tom, I don't have this on my list of questions, but I want to ask you about Americans.
Yeah, I always get asked about that.
Because I sense that Americans are going to be resistant to this miraculous vision that this family saw. They're going to be doubtful. What's happened to our culture that's taken us away from believing in the great miracles and the great power of our God?
Yeah, a lot of people will ask me sometimes the question, if God is supposedly doing all of these wonderful things around the world, and he is, why don't we see these things happening in America? And that creates a lot of doubt for a lot of people. But I think that there are more good things happening in America than we may sometimes realize. So to give you an example, let's talk about millennials for a second. 39% of millennials attend church weekly. That's up from 21% just a few years ago in 2019. More millennials are engaging with the gospel now than ever before. You look at Gen Zers, get this, 77% of non-church-going members of Gen Z are looking for churches that help the poor. Tell me, what are churches involved in all the time? Churches are all the time involved in helping the poor.
Yes.
73% of non-church-going members of Gen Z are looking for churches that address mental health. Have you ever had counsel from a pastor? Churches are involved in mental health issues all the time.
Yes.
And 69% of Gen Z are looking for churches that provide opportunities to help others. The church has everything that Gen Z is looking for significance and meaning in life, and they're getting involved. The Gen Z is the fastest growing group in the United States that is turning to Christ more than any other group.
I would say before you said that right now, I would have said Gen Zers are the most ambivalent, and I'm wrong. Sounds like.
You're wrong. That's right.
Not the first time I've been wrong. one of the things Diane is doing, your wife, mm-hmm. as part of this ministry, is she's really fulfilling what James 2:15 says. If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body. I love this.
Yeah.
What good is that?
Yeah.
And Diane is coordinating people that need shoes and clothes and food. And it sounds like you also do a lot of cooperating with other ministries.
Yeah, that's right. No ministry can reach the world by itself. We have to have partnerships to be able to do what we do. Like, for instance, what I do with Jesus Film for television is place the Jesus Film on TV stations all over the world in 150 countries. If we didn't have the partnership of those TV stations, we couldn't fulfill what we're doing right now. And over half of those TV stations are secular TV stations run by non-Christians. Mm. In Asia, in South America, in the Middle East, all over the place. And they're willing to air a story about Jesus. And then what Diane does is she comes alongside with partner ministries like Unto and others within the Crusade and outside. And they're providing, like you said, shoes and clothing and technology packages so that people would be willing to hear I say it this way, but it's almost like a buy-in. You're buying your way into getting somebody's ear. Here's your need. I'm fulfilling your need. By the way, I want to tell you about something. And then you share the gospel.
But I would say some people might even say, look, if a person is hungry or mm-hmm. a person is cold or their feet are filled with sores, they're not going to be able to listen to the gospel until you meet their physical need.
Yeah, for many people. You know, some people will be willing to hear the gospel directly, but other people need that kind of ministry to meet their needs so that they'll be able to listen.
And you're doing both.
We're doing both.
We talked before we started today a little bit about AI.
Oh,
some
boy.
People perceive that as, oh, well, no, this technology thing is bad for all of us. Well, you don't believe that. And so when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the technologies. I mean, even I guess AI is helping you with bringing Jesus Film to countries in their own language.
Yeah, so, actually, I'm not really here. I'm an AI.
I love that. More with Tom Terry with Crew Ministries right after these messages. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. Tom Terry is with us. He's with Crew Ministries. He's had quite a career at one time. He was general manager of KLYT, this radio station.
Operations manager,
you know, programming, everything going on. You worked with Steve Ryman,
yeah.
Our general manager now. I mean, this ministry at one time, KLYT was at one time the first Christian rock and roll station in the country.
That's right.
And, you know, this nonprofit, non-commercial station has done a lot. During the breaks, everybody listening, you hear people that support our ministry, and they say, I support this ministry because I believe in the vision and what the ministry is doing. And, Tom, you're kind of the same in that you're sharing what you're doing through Crew. Talk to us about Transworld Radio and Crew and how you're working together with those two entities.
Well, for the last several years, I've been working with Jesus Film Project on television strategy around the world and doing that very successfully. But then I was approached by a friend in Transworld Radio who said, we've got three Christian radio stations that we're trying to get rolling and make successful in India, Singapore, and South Africa. And we need somebody to manage those stations. And I thought, man, it's three radio stations by remote. That's kind of a challenge. But, you know, why say no to a challenge?
Yeah.
And so we went back to Jesus Film and said, Transworld Radio would like me to do this. And they said, well, we're all about partnership. Everything is about partnerships. You can't share the gospel alone. Everything. Even Jesus sent out his disciples two by two.
Yes.
Everything is about partnerships. And so Crew and Transworld Radio partnered together to have me work on doing these radio stations in those three countries. And it's been a blast ever since. I've been doing that now for over a year with them. And it's quite a challenge. But we're reaching areas of the world that most people don't think about. You know, we've got our station reaching almost all of Africa, based out of South Africa, both online and...
And how many different languages are there on the continent of Africa?
Yeah, I don't know how many are on the continent of Africa, but I can tell you in the world, there are 7,000 living languages right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you are using technology to present the Jesus Film in the indigenous languages.
That's right. That's right. So we have staff that work on translating the Jesus film. It takes anywhere from 6 months to 2 years to do a translation, depending upon its complexity. We also do translations into languages that have no written language. So everything has to be done orally and checked orally. And they do it so very, very successfully. Over 2,200 language translations available right now. And we're working our way toward 3,000 as quickly as possible.
And your goal really is to fulfill the Great Commission.
That's right.
And talk to us one more time about that. 189 companies or countries right now.
People groups. Yeah, that are unengaged with the gospel.
Oh, so not countries, but people groups.
People groups. That's right. So, you know, you have basically 201 countries and territories within the world. But within all those countries, you have various people groups. I'll give you an example. A friend of mine and I here from Albuquerque are praying every day for a group called the Khorasani Turks. The Khorasani Turks are an unengaged people group in northern Iran. There's over a million of them, and there is no gospel witness in their people group whatsoever. And so we're praying regularly for them and looking for opportunities of how we could introduce the gospel into that people group. So very, very important. People groups, there are over 17,323 people groups in the world. And of those 17,000 plus people groups, only 189 are still unengaged with the gospel. And within the next few years, all of them will be engaged with the gospel.
I love that. Are you going to raise a flag and have a celebration when every people group is reached?
Well, you know, it's funny because when every people group is reached, the work is still not done because there's always going to be people in a people group or a country that don't know Christ. Whether they have 50% people, like Africa, for instance, 45% of Africa claims to be Christian. 45%. They're the most Christian continent on the earth. Something to the tune of 631 million professing Christians in Africa.
So that would be higher than North America?
Oh, yeah, by quite a bit. Of course, you're talking about 54 countries in Africa. That's a lot different than just North America.
But we kind of think in North America that we have a handle on all this, don't we?
Oh, yeah. We think we're the center of the world because so much of the gospel goes out from America, and that's true. But much of the gospel also goes out from South Korea, from Germany, from England, from South America. There are missionaries. When we lived in Mongolia for 10 years, we knew missionaries from all of these countries, from Australia, New Zealand, South America, South Korea, parts of Europe that were there sharing the gospel in Mongolia.
Tom, what? How did your daughters, you have three daughters.
Three girls, yeah.
How did your girls feel about, I mean, I was worried about getting to soccer practice and playing in the band and different activities that my kids were doing. And I don't regret that. I mean, my kids are believers and they love Jesus. Yeah. But you engaged your faith and your family differently. I mean, the Great Commission has been your calling and you involved your whole family. I mean, how did they function in Mongolia?
Yeah. When we first got the opportunity to go to Mongolia, I wasn't really sure how to tell my kids, you know, that I got a job offer in Mongolia. And, we were sitting down at dinner one night. My girls asked me where I was applying for work because I was looking for another work at that time. And I said, oh, I applied for a job in Mongolia. Please pass the peas, you know, that sort of thing. Just kind of brushed it past it. And the girls were like, Dad, we can't go to Mongolia because, Dad, where's Mongolia? You know, they don't know anything about Mongolia. They were 12 and under. And they went online that night after dinner and looked up all they could find about Mongolia. And they came back to me the next morning, Dad, Mongolia's cool. And they didn't feel that way when we got there, though. When the plane landed and we got to our first apartment, I remember my oldest daughter, Stephanie, I was putting her down to bed. She was 12, and she was trembling in her bed. Dad, please take me home. Take me home. But as they got to know people and got to understand the culture and work in it, they began to realize that Mongolia could be their home. And in fact, all three of my girls, but especially my youngest daughter, Whitney, all three of them will tell you Mongolia is their true home. And when they talk about someday going back home, they're talking about going back to Mongolia. They're not talking about the U.S. They're talking about Mongolia. And Mongolia had a formative, life-changing impact on them, and they still think of it in very positive ways today.
So if people are listening now, and they've always thought about being a missionary, but they have small children—
Take them.
Do you dissuade them or encourage them?
No, I would encourage them because, you know— I don't want to sound arrogant about this, but if you take your kids overseas and live in an overseas country and learn how to share the gospel and live for Christ in an overseas country, your kids will be better for it. Because they'll have their faith challenged. There'll be a lot of things that they learn. You know, my girls, I'll give you a great example of one of the things that happened. Our girls were part of what we called a homeschool co-op in Mongolia. So all these homeschool families got together every day and they helped teach one another with their kids and help one another. Well, the teenage boys, who were all missionary kids, decided they wanted to protect all the missionary girls from the Mongolian men that would sometimes accost them. So wherever the girls decided to go in the community to have a day out or go do something, the boys would follow suit just to protect them.
Wow.
That doesn't happen in America, does it? You don't hear of anything like that. But then they would interface with other Mongolians that were in their area. And they interfaced with our staff with Eagle TV, where I was running the TV station there in Mongolia. They interfaced with our staff all the time. My oldest daughter came to work for us at the TV station for a year and just had a great experience with the Mongolians. Your kids will be better for it. I would say, yep, if you've got young kids, it's okay to take them. If God's calling you, he's calling your whole family. He's not just calling you.
So in addition to sharing the gospel, you're obviously providing additional tools to equip people to disciple. Those who come to faith in Christ, are they discipling other people and sharing the gospel? You mentioned 2% is kind of a threshold that seems to be able to replicate through a society.
Yeah, for reach and unreach. Yeah, so like, for instance, what we do with the Jesus film on television is very often in certain countries, not in all countries, but in certain countries like the Middle East and elsewhere, we have a WhatsApp number or a website address on the movie that people can go to. Here's the interesting thing. 70% of people who are watching something on television have a device in their hand, and they're looking up information about what they're watching. And when we realize that, we realize, let's steer them to where we want them to go to learn about Jesus. And so we work with the local ministry or local partner to put a WhatsApp number where people can call and get more information, or a website address where they can get follow-up information about Jesus. And it works tremendously. We had a partner that did that in India just recently for Easter, and they fielded over 11,000 phone calls from people who wanted to know more about Christ.
Wow. Amazing stuff. Tom Terry's been all over the world. He's our guest today on ABQ Connect. We're going to have him up until 2 o'clock. But as Tom talks to us, I want you to be able to contact him and reach out if you have maybe the Holy Spirit telling you to be part of what he's doing. And he and his wife have been working together for many years, in addition to being happily married. MrTomTerry@gmail.com is his email. Tom's in the Albuquerque area for a month.
Right, till the end of August.
And you've got 13 or 14 speaking engagements and would love to have more.
Yes.
And you're going to be talking about the Great Commission.
That's right. Why the Great Commission may be fulfilled in our lifetime.
And so will you speak to a group of business people?
I'll speak to anybody.
Will you speak to church groups?
I'll speak to anybody.
Okay. We're going to be back with more from Tom. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. Williams with you. Hello. Thank you for joining us on ABQ Connect. Tom Terry with Crew Ministries and Trans World Radio. They're kind of in a partnership, and Tom's doing ministry all over the world. Has there been a certain project that you've worked on that you saw was really bearing a lot of fruit and was the coolest thing for you?
Yeah, for me, it was it's work with a Jesus Film Project on television. If somebody would have told me 20 years ago or 30 years ago that I'd be placing the Jesus Film on TV stations all over the world, secular TV stations, and reaching millions of people for Christ every year, I never would have believed it because, you know, I was an old radio guy. That was my first love, was radio. Mm. And so it never occurred to me. People say, do you want to go into TV? I'd say, no, I got a radio face, you know? but just this last year in 2024, we had 208 million views of the Jesus film in over 150 countries all around the world, most of that on secular television.
And secular TV's not going to run the Jesus film unless advertisers are supporting it.
Well, actually, we have found that not to be the case.
Really?
Yeah.
And they still run it.
Yeah, they you know, well, it's kind of funny because in America, TV stations have access to films from major studios and things of that nature. They can fill their time with TV series, news series, all kinds of things. But many stations all around the world are struggling just to provide programming for the people to have something good on TV to watch. And so that's where we come in. We say, we've got a whole slate of films here that you can use. we won't charge you for it, because normally you pay stations to pay for movie packages. We tell them, we won't charge you a dime. You don't pay us. We don't pay you. You're free to use it. Just report to us and let us know when you're doing the broadcast and how many people are watching. And stations eat it up because they're looking for good programming. They're looking for compelling content. And if that programming is Christian, as long as it's compelling, that's okay.
Yeah.
And they'll play the whole Jesus film uninterrupted for 2 hours.
So at some point there was a Jesus film in English, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And now that's in how many different languages?
Over 2,200.
Wow.
Yeah. Most translated film in history.
Well, we're going to have to get on you about, you know, why you're not speaking Mongolian and Arabic and all those other things. I don't have a propensity to speak anything other than English. I don't know why. I'm kind of a spaz when it comes to everything else.
Yeah, I spoke enough Mongolian just to get into trouble.
What's Mongolian food?
Oh, boy, that's a question. Mongolian food is very meat-centric because it's a sub-zero climate. You know, the average winter temperature is minus 35 degrees. And so you don't have a lot of growing there unless you have greenhouses. And they didn't do a lot of greenhouses until the last 10 to 15 years. Mm-hmm. So everything is basically a meat product or an animal product that they eat. These little milk things that they make that you chew on and some of the drink that they drink called arag, which is fermented mare's milk. Yes, it doesn't sound pleasant, I know. And
I'm saying this is not a commercial for tourism in Mongolia.
But, you know, I loved eating hosher, which is a kind of a meat pie, which is very good in Mongolia. So there are different things that are enjoyable, but we also ate a lot at home and made our own food.
When you come to New Mexico, do you do a little Mexican food?
Oh, man, all the time. First thing we did as soon as we arrived on Friday was go out to lunch and get some green chili.
I love it.
Yeah.
A lot of people know what green chili
is. Okay, I've got to confess, I'm not here for support for our ministry. I'm just here for the food.
Hey, talk to us again how people that are listening right now can get more information about what you're doing.
Sure.
Maybe they want to be part of your support team. Maybe you could talk about a biblical model for sending people out like yourself.
Sure. Well, to learn more about our ministry and what we're doing with Jesus Film and Transworld Radio, just go to tomanddiane.com. Real simple to remember, tomanddiane.com. And if you're interested in having me come and speak to your church or Bible study, I'd be happy to do that. Just write to me at mrtomterry@gmail.com, mrtomterry@gmail.com, and do it that way.
And you'll be here in New Mexico for all of August.
Till the end of the month. That's right.
I love that. And you don't have a problem going within so many miles of Albuquerque.
No problem at all.
I mean, we're down in Las Cruces. What if somebody calls from Las Cruces?
Well, then we may have to look into doing that.
Yeah. Well, I like that. New Mexico's kind of a spread out place.
It is.
And so you have to put a few road miles on. Talk to us about security-sensitive countries. I know that there's some Muslim countries that are not necessarily very excited about, you know, Trans World Radio or crew coming in and telling people about Jesus.
Yeah, there are countries like that and also some countries in Asia that you have to be very careful not to talk about specific details of, because it could get back to wherever it's going to get back to and cause people problems. So you can tell general stories like we've done today about the burning boy.
Well, how many Christians did you say are in China now?
In China, if all goes the way we think it's going, then there'll be 247 million Christians within the next 5 to 10 years. Which is remarkable. And then other security-sensitive countries like North Korea, for instance. North Korea is probably the most closed country as a country in the world. And yet there are over 400,000 Christians in North Korea and more that are being added. They're thriving under persecution. You know, you talk about radio in North Korea. Let me give you this example. It's not like you can just go down the street and knock on your neighbor's door and go tell them the gospel in North Korea. But many North Koreans are interested in hearing about the gospel. And so what they do is they listen to Christian radio that gets beamed into the country by shortwave or by high-powered AM. And what they do is they go out to their backyard and they dig up a radio that they had previously buried there, and they tune it into the frequency that they want to listen to. They'll do this at about 1 a.m. And they'll listen to Christian radio for about an hour and learn about Jesus or learn about the Bible. And then when it's done, they take out the batteries, they put the radio back into the plastic bag, and they go back to someplace else in the backyard and bury the radio until the next time they want to listen. And that's how they get their discipleship.
Because if the authorities were to find that radio or know that they were participating, there'd be dire consequences.
Yeah, the North Korean government provides fixed-tune radios for people so that they can listen to only the stations they want them to listen to. So what do the North Koreans do? Well, if they can't smuggle in a regular radio, they open up those government radios and modify them to pick up other frequencies so that they can listen.
And Tom, you said something that's really interesting to me. The more the persecution, the more in your experience you've seen the body of Christ thrive.
Yeah, you know, China, again, I mentioned China earlier. China's a great example. In 76 years of persecution in China, the Chinese church has grown 3,900%. We don't see that kind of growth anywhere else in the world, except for maybe in places like the Middle East.
Yeah. I had, it's interesting. There's a young woman that lives here in Albuquerque. She works over at Hope Christian School. Her name is Jody McAllister, and she wrote a book about her late husband. Mark was the first missionary coordinator at Calvary Church, and they used to sneak Bibles in.
Yeah.
At their peril, into China, and they'd stuff them in suitcases. And of course, this was before all the fancy X-ray machines and all of that.
Yeah.
And they really, I mean, those Bibles were gone in 5 minutes as they made their contacts and met them. Those Bibles were literally eaten up. But it's not now necessarily even about physical Bibles. There's so many ways people can hear the gospel through the technologies you've described.
Yeah, I mean, we're living for the first time in history where every country in the world has access to Christian media in some form. Print, radio, internet, television, whatever it might be, there's some type of Christian media available in every country in the world. Now, it's not in every language yet, but it is available in every country, especially by radio.
So you provide all of this ministry, all of this technology. You don't charge even television stations to show the Jesus
film.
That's right. So how is the ministry funded?
The ministry is funded by individuals, just regular everyday people like you and I, who believe in the work that the ministry is doing, and they give gifts of either small monthly gifts or large gifts, whatever they want to do to support the ministry. Like in our case, we have people that give anywhere from $25 a month up to $100 a month to support our ministry.
And are there people in Albuquerque doing that?
Oh, yeah. We've got a good number of people in Albuquerque.
Okay. Well, and I think people don't necessarily think about giving as necessarily a ministry.
But
they think,
it is.
They think of it as a duty, but it is a ministry.
Yeah, I mean, I've met with folks who have told me multiple times that I can't go onto the mission field, so you're going in my place, and I'm going to support what you're doing, and that's how I'm going to go. And that's perfectly legitimate, because then they get to extend their own personal ministry by giving to others who are actually doing the work.
Now, do you have a group of people that you share your plight or your concerns with, and they pray for you?
Oh yeah, our supporters pray for us all the time, and there are a core number of people that we can share our weaknesses with.
And you have a newsletter.
We do. We have a newsletter that we send out every month, the first of every month, by email as well as by paper, and in it we tell 4 to 5 stories of things that are going on around the world that are a direct part of our ministry.
Is that just to get people on a mailing list so you can sell that to all kinds of other companies?
Oh, no, we want people to see what it is that they're supporting.
Well, I want people to understand. I think all of us have these concerns now.
I would say that's true with every missionary. They're wanting people to know what they're doing so they can continue to pray for what they're doing.
Yeah. I just want you to express to us, you're not selling those mailing lists to a whole bunch of other people.
No, at least not for a little bit of money.
You're being facetious.
Yes, of course.
I love that. Tom, I'm just blessed to have you back in Albuquerque. I appreciate the time that you've spent with us. People that don't know much about missions, why has it been such a life-changing thing for you?
Well, when you get involved in fulfilling the Great Commission, it can't help but be life-changing because you're involved in helping to change the lives of other people. I even had my mother, who's not a believer, say to me one day, "You're changing the world." Mm. Even she can see the result of what the ministry does. And so whether you're supporting something going on with the Great Commission locally in your own community, or you're reaching out internationally around the world, you're changing people's lives, and that has a life-changing effect on you. We have a friend who works in Pakistan, and he's starting to do ministry to a people group in Pakistan that has no witness for the gospel. They're completely unengaged. And their biggest need right now is for water. All they have is rainwater. There are about 50 families that live in the village. They have rainwater in a dirt trench. That's where they bathe. That's where they drink. That's where they get their cooking water. And it's filthy and has all kinds of waterborne illness. So we're going to help them dig a well in that community and hopefully change that community and plant a church in the process. When we think about getting involved with projects like that, that changes us as well as changing the people that get the benefit of that ministry.
Yeah, and I love the fact that you're even sharing that with us now. You do that through your newsletter, and then people that are listening, you would even invite them probably to go.
Sure.
If there were opportunities to go.
Absolutely.
Tom, one more time, how do our listeners get in touch with you?
MrTomTerry@gmail.com, and if you want to learn more about our ministry, TomandDiane.com.
My friend, it's good to see you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Pleasure. Thank you.